First Samuel chapter 13 says this in verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people were sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horses, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. And the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue, thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And I'd like to use as a topic from the beginning of verse 11, where Samuel asked the question, "What hast thou done?" Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name, and Lord, I just ask for your help and grace, and always, Lord, I need your Spirit. I'm desperate for your Spirit to help me to share this, your word. Lord, you do the speaking. Let it be your Spirit that speaks to us all, because, Lord, all I can do is foolishly. But God, I know that when you speak and when you minister to hearts and lives, you change the heart, you change the life, you move by your Spirit. You give us the joy and the desire. And Lord, your word has spoken constantly through this time. Let me not be in the way of what your message is today for the church. And I pray that I'm just a part of what's already been spoken and sung by your Spirit. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at the life of Saul and how Israel wanted a king to replace God. And so God said that he would give them a king, had Samuel go out, brought Saul to him, showed him that Saul was going to be the king. He anointed him, told him that he would see some signs, and when he saw those signs, which he did see, and God gave him a new heart, put a new spirit on him. However, when Saul called Israel together to anoint him to become the next king, he hid himself among the stuff, and that got people wondering, you know, we're looking for a good military leader who can take us out to the Philistines and bring us in victorious. You know, how's this guy going to save us? He doesn't got it. And so they kind of despised him. God touched the hearts of a few to follow after him, but they all kind of went home. And then we saw last week how the Ammonite king was Nahash, the serpent, would raise up against the men of Jabesh Gilead, and they sent, you know, would somebody come help them and save them? And Saul, hearing that, the weeping, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He got angry. He grew angry. How dare this guy come against the children of Israel? And slew his oxen, said, this is what your oxen's going to be if you don't come out to battle and help your brothers. So the fear of the Lord came upon the people. They went out, were victorious in battle, and then they said, who was it that said Saul shouldn't be our king? Let them be slain. But he said, no, we got good news. It's not a day of death. It's a day of life. And the people rejoiced, and they renewed the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom, and Saul was then recognized as king. Some more was written then, but we come to this 13th chapter where it said how Saul was reigning here. And then it makes this statement saying that he got 3,000 men together. 2,000 went with him and to Mishmash, and 1,000 went with his son Jonathan to Gibeah. And what we saw then was, it says, and Jonathan went up against the garrison of the Philistines. Now, one of the signs was that he would see he would come upon a garrison of the Philistines, but there would be these prophets come and he would have the Spirit come on him and he would prophesy. So I don't know if this was the same garrison that's mentioned back in, what is it, chapter 10 or not. But anyway, Jonathan saw a garrison of the Philistines and he went up against them, slew them. Well, if somebody attacks some of your military in of your country, you tend to get upset by that. Nations tend to not be happy when you go up against their military and slay them and do harm to them. The Philistines were no exception. They took exception to Jonathan doing this. And so they were going to come up against the children of Israel. But before I get into that, I want to bring out then what Saul did. You know, it got back to Saul that, you know, Jonathan, you know, went up against a garrison of the Philistines. And so it says, and Saul blew a trumpet. He called an assembly, and the people were now, you know, let's go to Gilgal. We need to go to Gilgal because the Philistines now are going to come out against us in mighty battle. Now, I want to point one thing out that I see differently. When I read about him coming against the Ammonites and he called Israel to battle against the Ammonites and he slew the oxen, and then the fear of God came upon all the people. There's something it said there that here, when I read him blowing a trumpet and calling an assembly to the people to come to Gilgal, there's something I see different between the two. In the Ammonites, I read, and the Spirit of God came upon him. I don't read that here. I don't really have great comment about that. I'm just saying it's an observation I notice. That then it said the Spirit of God came upon him. Here I don't read that. It just, he blew a trumpet. Now, did he do wrong? I don't know. It wasn't the Spirit of God came on him and he moved on this. But yet I think back on chapter 10 where Samuel said, you know, do what you have a mind to do. God's with you. That just makes me curious. It makes me wonder about that. Because he said, you know, go ahead. You're free to do what you want to do. God's with you. But yet it doesn't say in this case, the Spirit of God came on him. Let me just stop for a second. And this is why this intrigues me, because here's what I do understand. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know, I wonder sometimes in this day we're living, that people kind of want to do whatever it is, whatever it has their mind to. After all, Jesus went to the cross and I'm believing Jesus. Does it really matter what I do? God's with me. He's with me. It doesn't really matter. And I guess I'm saying, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, maybe it does matter. Let me go ahead a moment. Maybe we need to be saying, God, I need the leading of your Spirit. If I'm going to live in this life, if I'm going to go forward into battle against the enemy, whether it's the serpent, whether it's the ways of this world, if I'm going to do that, Lord, I don't know how to do it. I'll go ahead and share something with you that is really for me, but I'll share it with you. Because as I think about the things that God has called me to do, I recently, as I was been studying this, I came to realize something. I've never been in the military. I don't know how to do a battle plan. And that's what I need. And I know I need help by somebody who knows how to do a battle plan. And help me to go forward against the devil and against the spirit of this world. Because I know how to do business things, but I don't know how to do a battle plan. Well, that's just a side note. It had nothing to do with the message. But I'm simply saying I do know this. I know who knows how to do a battle plan in spiritual matters. The Holy Spirit knows how to do a battle plan. He knows how to combat in the spirit. He knows how to defeat Satan. He did it on a cross of Calvary to defeat him. He did it by the blood of Jesus to defeat him. He did it through an incarnation to go forward to bring us God's plan of salvation. So yes, it's not the simplicity of I'll do whatever I want for God's with me. But it's a cry that says, God, I need your Spirit to lead me, that what I do is exactly how you direct my path. Like I said, I don't know why it didn't say that here. I'm just saying it's an observation I made in the Word. It said that when he went against Nahash, but against the Philistines, it just didn't say. And so he had his 3,000 men. Praise God. What are we talking here? 30,000 chariots? 6,000 horsemen? And then other footmen that were as the sand on the sea against 3,000. You know, 3,000 looks good against a garrison. But it sure don't look good against, I mean, let's face it, what hope do they have? 30,000 chariots. Even the psalmist, which wouldn't have been at this time, but said the chariots of God are 20,000 and thousands upon angels. What hope did they have? It didn't look good. So you're out there and you beat a garrison and you're feeling real good about yourself. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And then the rest, like the sand of the sea. And what did it say happened? The Philistines were at Mishmash and said the people that he had were, they scattered to caves and to rocks. Some of them went across the Jordan River over to they went over the river. They went over the river. There's nothing like it. Look, they saw what they saw. There's a lot more for them than there be for us. And so, seeing the battle, 3,000 weren't 3,000 anymore. 3,000 weren't 3,000 against 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. They were a lot less. And it says Saul tarried for 7 days according to the appointment that Samuel had given. Now I got to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10 on that. Something we read back when we were looking at that. First Samuel 10:7 says, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee," referred to that earlier, "that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God's with thee." Verse 8, "And thou shalt," and now listen to this, "and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show you what you're supposed to do." Oh, now wait a minute. That's how God was working in this occasion. Maybe that's why it didn't say the Spirit of God came. Because Samuel said, here's the way God's going to do it. You go down, you wait 7 days, I'm coming, I will offer burnt offerings, I will offer peace offerings, and I, as the word of God, the prophet, will tell you what you're supposed to do. I speaking as the prophet of God, will let you know what you're supposed to do. There you go. So he goes down, he waits the 7 days. And there's no Samuel. And he's looking, and it says more people hit the bricks, the rocks, and the bulrushes. More people were going over the hill, over the river. And he's looking. You know, that's one thing you will definitely find. There's a saying, not a biblical saying, but there's a saying that says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, there was a lot of tough talkers that got going when the going got tough. They'll be going. Trust me, they'll be going. When things get hard, you'll find out who's with you and who isn't. But one of the things that I see here then and I read, he says, Saul said, "Well, get me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering and the peace offering. I mean, let's face it. People were leaving. He had to do what he had to do because people are leaving. He didn't have people for the battle anymore. He didn't have people for the fight anymore. He didn't have people standing up for the armies of God. People are leaving. I wonder if that relates to today. People are leaving. And so you got a whole lot of people saying, well, I better do something. I can't wait around to see whether God's word works or not. I better take things into my own hand. I'll just leave that go for right now. But just as soon as he finished those offerings, here comes Samuel. And he sees Samuel and he's excited and he says, oh good, Samuel's here now. And so he goes out to greet him. Hey, what a wonderful thing. We've made sacrifices to the Lord. Samuel's here now. We're ready to go out to battle. Maybe some of the people might even come back. And Samuel said, what'd you do? What have you done? I mean, he thought he did good. You know, a lot of times we think we do good. But the question is, what have you done? You know, there's a great place where I see that question asked, and it's in Genesis chapter 3. It don't take long for God to ask that question. Genesis chapter 3. I'll pick it up at verse 7. It says, and the eyes of them both were open. This pertains both being Adam and Eve. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten? I love this question. Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you should not eat? Have you disobeyed my command? Have you gone against my word? I only gave you one. Have you disobeyed it? And the man said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said unto the woman, look at that question. What is this that thou hast done? What have you done? Woman, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And I did eat. That's what I've done. I disobeyed. And that was the question that he was saying here. What is it that you have done? And he says, but I saw everybody leaving. Nobody was in the fight anymore. Nobody was serving God anymore. They were all leaving. What is it that you have done? And after all, where were you? You know, you were supposed to come in 7 days. You were late. I was looking. I waited for you. You didn't show up. Boy, it sounds like the Garden of Eden all over again, doesn't it? Let me tell you something about man that the Bible reveals to me, and it's this. There's no new thing under the sun. You look at the Garden of Eden incident, and we're the same today as we were as they were in the garden. Don't judge Adam and Eve because we're no different. You shall be as God, knowing. Oh yeah, count me in for that. What have you done? And the question from God is as it was to Saul, as it was to Adam. What is it you've done? But here's my reason. Here's why we have to have smoke machines and light shows and rock and roll groups in the church. They're all leaving. All the young ones are leaving. We can't have them leave. It's all right. Fine. Go ahead, Jesus movement. Take LSD and still have Jesus. And like I was saying, Brother Wilkerson, no, you can be delivered from that. Because everybody's leaving. It's in this, right here. Where's God? Where's His Word? Where's His Spirit? I'll make it real good. Here, let me show you. Let me show how righteous I really am, Samuel. The Philistines were coming up against us, and I hadn't made supplication to the Lord. Well, that sounds right. That sounds good. And it is. It is right. It is good. That was the problem. Because the people saw the Philistine. They say, we got 3,000. They got 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and men like the sand of the sea. What do? We better run. We better give up on what Samuel's not even here yet. We don't even know the Word of God. We don't even have the direction of what we're supposed to go with. So what do? Let's run. Let's give up on it. Let's walk the ways of the world. Let's go out into the world. Let's be the world. Instead of saying, you know what? Maybe it's time to make supplication. Prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, ask God's Spirit to come on us, saying, you know what, God, Samuel hasn't come yet, but you, Lord, you can send your word. You can defeat those Philistines. Lord, we're asking for your help, but where was prayer? Where was the word? Where was, maybe somebody else knows it. What does the word tell us to do? The word's telling us, wait for Samuel. But we're running out of time. It gets anxious when it comes to, when time constraints are there, isn't it? I gotta be there by a certain time. I'm not gonna make it. This project needs to be done by a certain time. And I got so much to do. And now the phone's ringing and they want something. How am I gonna take care of it all? I'm anxious. I've got anxiety. My Bible says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you what, the first of all, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. That's weeks down the road, but first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's where we begin. We begin with prayer. And we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. So God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And Samuel would say, you have done absolutely foolishly. Because you have not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. You've not kept His commandment. All He said to you to do is wait for me. I'll offer the offerings and I will tell you what you're supposed to do. But you couldn't wait. You felt the stress. Anybody here ever feel stress? Yeah, it has an impact on you, doesn't it? You know what it has an impact on? Faith. Has an impact on faith. Anxiety, stress, situations, circumstances. They have an impact on our faith. I'll stay on that. I'll stay on that. We're justified by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've celebrated the Lord's communion today. We praised Him, worshiped Him, testified of Him. sought him in prayer because of faith. We believe Jesus. We believe he's sent of God, died on a cross for our sins, rose again that we might have eternal life and have abundant life while we're here. We believe. We believe. But they ran and they scattered because of the circumstances and the situations. It was too much for the 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and then the number of the sea. It was too much. It was too overwhelming. Where was God? Where was Samuel's word? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Where is the proper offering? Well, doing right doesn't seem to be working, does it? Holding true doesn't seem to be working, does it? Time's running out. What am I going to do? And anxiety can get you to do something. Be disobedient to God's word. To not wait upon the Lord and his word. And that affects faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It affects faith. Because what I'm hearing is 30,000 chariots. 30,000, I'm hearing the noise of 30,000 chariots. And I'm not hearing the word of God, and affects faith. And my Bible still tells me one thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. To please God. And he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That run the other side of the river. That diligently seek him. That say, no, wait a minute. They're all scattering. We better do something. There's nobody with me anymore. This world's so full of sin, there ain't nobody with me anymore. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'll make this statement, and then I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 2. And that statement is this. It was by faith that you entered into the door of the sheepfold. That door being Jesus Christ. He said he's the door. It's the same door that you can go out of the sheepfold. Faith let you in. Lack of faith, you can walk out the same door. I'm not believing God. I'm not believing what Jesus has done is capable of helping me against these giants, this Philistine army, this mighty circumstance. Oh, he spared not his own son, but obviously then he's willing to let me suffer, willing to let me experience loss and heartache and sorrow and just emptiness, not having him with me. No. He spared not his own son, therefore how much more it will he give us good things, seeing that he didn't spare his own son. Are there bad things happening in my life? You better know it. Whole lot of them. Do health issues come to me? Sure. But praise God, I've got to help in the name of the Lord. That's the only place I can go. If I'm going to have faith in something, I better have it in God. And on that, something that God's been dealing with me personally about is in Revelation chapter 2. the church, the message to Ephesus, Revelation 2:1, where it says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. Can't bear them which are evil. You've tried them which say they're apostles and are not. You found them liars. They say they're apostles, but they're not. They're liars. You found that. You got it. And you have patience. There it is again. Verse 2, he says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. In verse 3, he says, you've borne and you have patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored and you've not fainted. You've not given up. You've not run. You've not hid in the rocks. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You know, it's so easy to begin to get used to religion. Get used to terminology. Get used to being in church. It's very easy to be working for the Lord. Know what you believe. And yet at the same time, have this same thing said to you. I know your works. I know your patience. But you've left your first love. Do you remember your first works? It wasn't about you doing anything. It was about just loving Jesus. Just loving Jesus. Do you remember those days? It was just about loving Jesus. You sang because you just loved Jesus. You were thankful. I'm not saying don't grow. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But he was saying to them, look, you're busy and you're doing a lot. But you left the first love. Do your first works. Get the Spirit of God coming all over you again. Trust Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth shall go strangely dim. But you're talking 30,000 chariots. Will grow strangely dim. What have you done? What have you done? Have you remembered how much you love Jesus today? Have you thanked him? Have you prayed today? Oh, not while I was, but I mean, have you prayed? Have you interceded for somebody today? Have you just receive something from God's word today? Has he directed your path? Do you love Jesus? Do you say, God, I want to obey your word. I want to be led by your Spirit. What have you done? Saul, what have you done? You've forsaken the commandment. Eve, what have you done? You listen to the devil. Don't be anxious right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Peace right now. This is what the Lord wants to do right now. Just be at peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What are the Philistines? What are the 30,000 chariots that are lined up in Mishmash coming against you? Are you trying to figure out what to do? Or do you remember your first love? Jesus. Have faith in Him. Have faith in Him. Now's the time.